WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Repairs to the Los Angeles 10 freeway that's been closed since the weekend due to an arson fire are moving faster than expected. Governor Gavin Newsom.
By Tuesday next week, trucks, passenger vehicles in both directions will be moving again.
Criminal investigation continues. President Biden says several agreements were reached between world leaders at the APEC summit.
If we had this agreement in place we're talking about today, we would not have had to lay off so many auto workers because lack of semiconductors and many other examples.
They include clean energy, supply chains, and climate change. The Gaza Strip's main Palestinian internet and telephone providers say those services have collapsed due to lack of fuel, sparking a potentially long-term communications blackout. Texas man convicted of abducting and strangling a 5-year-old girl in 2001 has been executed. This is ABC News. D-minus. That is the grade the March of Dimes gives the U.S. in its latest preterm birth report. The rate of babies born alive before 37 weeks of pregnancy was just over 10% last year. An A grade would be 7.7% or less. Proposed contract between the UAW and General Motors has been ratified.
The deal comes after unionized workers at GM parts depots and a battery plant voted in favor of the deal. Workers at 11 major GM factories voted against ratification. In all, just over 50% of GM workers voted for the new contract. That contract gives workers 25% pay raises over the next 4.5 years. It also restores cost of living adjustments and implements protections for workers as the automaker transitions over to building electric vehicles. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh will accept a 3-game suspension from the Big Ten, and the conference will end its investigation into a sign-stealing scheme. Settlement resolves the school's lawsuit against the league. Andy Field, ABC News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers, potential workers, that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Badgers ready for a fight Saturday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers hope to snap a 3-game losing streak when they host the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Saturday night, the kickoff at Camp Randall set for 6:30. After beating Wisconsin and Madison last weekend, Northwestern has named their interim head coach, Dave Braun, as the Wildcats' new head coach. The 38-year-old Braun was hired as a defensive coordinator just 10 months ago. Baseball, the Brewers introduced bench coach Pat Murphy as the team's new manager. 41-year-old Ricky Weeks will take Murphy's place, but with a new title, associate manager, with a chance that maybe someday he could be in charge.
I'm very thankful to Mark, Matt, obviously, Murphy here. To me, it's a very good homecoming for me. Kids was born, basically raised in the baseball field and now being able to be here, you get a little emotional about it. Come back to a city, to basically where I grew up at. It really means a lot to me.
That's the Brewers associate manager, Ricky Weeks, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 25. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 43, lows around 26 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 38.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, speaking of which, we have Robert Lilligren, who is the CEO of NACD, and we are so... always fun to have Robert on, and a lot of information here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island. Robert's like a glass ceiling breaker, and we are always pleased to have you on. And, you know, as former city council member, and I just got to say this too, we had your candidate on and she won.
She did win. I'm thrilled. Katie Cashman in Ward 7 elections just on Tuesday. So it was good news. And it's great to be here. I've been away for a few weeks. So it's good to be back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's so much going on. And, you know, this is a show that we could probably start our own network and have continuous news going on in Indian country. And a lot of things happening in Minneapolis and Minnesota and all over the five-state area. But, we still are going to be talking homeless, even though it's a scary warm today. That's not what's going to be happening soon, Robert.
No, you're exactly right, Robert. It is beautiful here in Minneapolis today. It must be 65 degrees or warmer, but winter is coming, right? And we have a lot of our relatives living outside, sleeping outside. And so plans for how to best care for our relatives who are unsheltered are ramping up really quickly. A lot going on in Minneapolis, and we have some major encampments. Again, there's one very near the NACD office called Ninokasi, I believe is how you say it, in Ojibwe, and it's a camp community of about 200 people.
Wow.
And it's on city property, a city-owned lot. The mayor called a bunch of us into his office this week to meet on it and to discuss it. And, you know, it's difficult. You know, the city has sort of a zero tolerance for encampment, and somehow this encampment has been allowed to remain for about 3.5 months now, and they haven't moved on it. And then the community's very split on this. You know, we all want what's best for our relatives, but we disagree on what the approach is. And so some people are very protective of encampments and protective of the people there. Some of us are more interested in seeing our relatives in more safe and stable housing with the services and support they need. And so it's very dynamic.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot going into it. I know during the Wall of Forgotten Natives, I learned a lot And you know, Wendy worked in the HIV community for many years, and saw a lot of our relatives there that she knew. And of course, she didn't tell me who they were, that she saw anyone until well after we were there. But there were so many different issues of everything from afraid to go to a shelter and get their only belongings stolen and things like that. It's just things I had no idea about.
Right. Well, in the Wall of Forgotten Natives that you talk about was a really large and high profile encampment here in Minneapolis. We'd never really seen anything like that. That was 5 years ago.
What?
If you can believe it, I know. And not much has changed in the system to support our relatives since then, but it was an encampment of about 200 plus tents, maybe some 200-300 people in a very, very public place right in the Native community along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it changed a lot of people's perspectives. And, you know, it was very telling that when our relatives felt they needed help, they came right into the heart of the community, right, and set up this major encampment. We all learned a lot. These were people that had been living without shelter previously, just not together.
Right.
And it's really reframed the dialogue since then, but not a lot has changed in the system. And, you know, I'm sort of part of the system, and I'll take some accountability, but it's been so frustrating. And I remember back during the era of the Wall of Forgotten Natives, our state housing authority convened the Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness. So it was all of the cabinet members, all of the state agencies that could do something about it. And at that time, we got some new data from HUD that disaggregated data around unsheltered homeless people. And at the time, Native people were 17 times more likely than white people in our state and region to be unsheltered. And that was the first time I saw that statistic, and I started crying. Wow. It was really traumatic. So today, a Native person is 28 times more likely to be unsheltered than a white person in our region. And so we're moving the dial in the wrong direction.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Is that just because the waiting list for public housing are so long, or why is that?
Well, I have my opinions, Haley. Thanks for asking. But I think it's because there's a sort of an unwillingness from those who hold resources that could really address the issues that contribute to a person being unhoused. They're unwilling to step in because it's going to be costly. It needs to be people-centered. It needs to be culturally specific. And it's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. And so you have all the public jurisdictions, the city, the county, the state. You know, you have the philanthropic resources, the service providers, but none of them are really stepping in to collaborate and commingle their resources. And I suspect that if we were willing to do that and step in with our resources rather than step out and sort of protect our silos, I suspect we haven't enough resources going in to the solutions that we could actually move the dial in the right way. But until something or someone makes us all sit together, put all of our resources on the table and figure out how we can better leverage them, we're going to keep struggling like we are today.
Well, one of the things that COVID showed when we were totally shut down, Robert, is that there is resources. There were resources coming out of the clear blue sky, whether it was for vaccines and all these things. So I'd like to see him make one less B-1 bomber for $1 billion and house everybody that needs housing.
Here, here. And it's more than just housing, right? If the solution were as simple as a roof over someone's head, we'd be solving this, right? There needs to be a solution specific for each individual who is unhoused and each of our relatives living outside. And that's not going to be easy. But I'm with you. I think our priorities are misdirected, and that we need to center the people, right? This is very interesting. It's interesting having folks, this current camp has about 200 people living in it. And you know, it's being run in a more community-focused, people-centered way. Our relatives do ceremony every day there. They're trying to keep order, but it still isn't ideal. Mm-hmm. For someone to be to be living there. But there's an advantage when you have a bunch of our relatives together. You can engage them. I think of the 200 people at the current camp, big encampment, 125 of them, I think, have housing vouchers so they can be navigated toward safer, more permanent housing. That is a bit of an advantage of having them, having folks all together. You can touch more people's lives.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. We got a couple minutes here in the segment. I always like Robert, and I know we talk about a lot of things that are happening, and I always like to get a call to action. What do you think our listeners could do as a call to action?
Yeah, I think engage two things. One is engage with policymakers and other resource holders, making it clear this is a priority, not just clear the camps, but to really care for these people. And the other is engage with some of the community level grassroots service providers. You know, don't just show up and drop off a bunch of clothes or food, but there's a lot of coordinated efforts going on, and just look for who's helping out.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minnesota Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. More with Robert.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization. Been with us for over 6 years on Native Roots Radio. And I just have to give a shout out too, quick, to the owner of AM950. He plays those PSAs all day and doesn't have to. And I just want to give a big shout out to Chad. When I'm listening to AM950, I hear Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition PSA is playing, and I just think what a great partnership we have with AM950.
Absolutely.
Hey, Haley, before we get back to Robert, do you know what time of year it is?
You know, I think Thanksgiving's coming up, but
picking.
I don't Robert, know. Is it your birthday?
No, it's always my birthday. We're always celebrating. Robert, do you know what time of year it is?
I do know. It's time to for Minsure, right?
Hey, that is Minsure. Wow, our guest knows and we don't know. I just think that's awesome. You must have been listening to the show. How can we get a hold of Minsure, Haley?
Yes, so you guys can visit Minsure.org. That's MNSURE.org to find an affordable plan that fits your needs.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren again, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, which goes by NACD. And it's that time of year again, Robert. I'm wondering, it's Give to the Max. Can we give a shout out to your organization here?
Yes, please, Give to the Max Day. So it's an aggressive fundraising day. Folks can go to NACD.org, NACDI.org, if they want to give to NACD and support our incredible work there. And there's just a number of Native organizations who participate. And it's, I don't know if you've seen this, Robert and Haley, but it looks like giving is kind of down. Mm-hmm. To charitable organizations, and so we're trying to buck the trend here in Minnesota. So if you can, please give to the Max.
Yeah, right on. Hey, Robert, too, speaking of which, I've seen out of your organization a lot of really cool videos on Instagram. I haven't seen them on YouTube or Facebook, but I imagine they are. But I have seen them pop up on Instagram about making voting a tradition.
Yeah, make voting a tradition, a hugely successful civic engagement initiative at NACD. That's an intergenerational approach to engaging Native folks, not just at the ballot box, which is important, but in holding elected officials accountable and engaging in policymaking. But, you know, we get kids to bring their grandmas and grandmas to bring their grandchildren and really start reintegrating voting as a core value. Yeah. In the community, and I appreciate you mentioning those videos. We have them in our other program areas as well. Food sovereignty with Four Sisters, arts and culture with All My Relations Arts. And over the last maybe year and a half, 2 years, we've really centered storytelling in our organization, and we've established a group internally of three that kind of lead the storytelling team, and it's really made a difference. It's kind of turbocharged our ability to get information about our organization out there. So I appreciate you mentioning that, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, there's something that I was just invited to going on Friday, and it's always an exciting thing in downtown St. Paul, the Minnesota Rise.
Yeah, Native Rise event. It's called hashtag Native Rise. It's actually happening in Minneapolis this year, Robert.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
For the first time. Yeah, it's on Windows of Minnesota, so on the 50th floor of the IDS Center. So,
wow.
Yeah, and the theme is Soaring to New Heights. But this is a social and dinner and program and an event that celebrates what we're doing here in the Native community. And it's a great networking event. We get a lot of policymakers and other resource holders. It's Friday, November 17th. I'm pretty sure it's sold out at this point. Our feature will be Kara Jade Myers, who plays Anna in Killers of the Flower Moon, and who's also a organizer and writer. And it's just a really special event that has been put on by the American Indian OIC and Dr. Joe Hobart for, let's just be about 5 years now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, I remember it was really bougie the first year I wasn't invited. So, but I've been sneaking in ever since.
No, you're right. It is a little bougie, but it's, you know, a good group of Native folks. Our Lieutenant Governor, my white haired sister, Peggy Flanagan, will be a featured speaker there, and it's a great forum to kind of get our messages out. And we'll also have a local comedian, Trish Cook from Red Lake, who will be performing. So it's going to be something special. I'm glad you can make it.
Yeah, and thanks for the invite. I think it's really important that we talk about these things, because a lot of our people that listen to the show are white people that enjoy us Natives and support our Natives, our white allies. They really don't hear about these things that we do in this kind of a fun and snazzy way. They think of us in different ways, but it's really good. I'll be able to, I'll probably wear a sport coat and put on that cool polo tie I have too.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with that tie. Yeah, it is kind of fun, and it's it's a power building strategy,
yes,
right? It's to let people who make decisions about our community, who hold resources that can support our communities, it gives them an opportunity to see what we're doing. And it's always been a good time. And were you there last year when there was the serious ice storm that hit just beforehand? I think it took me an hour plus to get to St. Paul, which is usually about a 15-minute drive from here. But looks like we'll have better weather this year.
Well, you know, you talk about groups like this or happenings like this around the Twin Cities, and I know Haley was really impressed that the governor knows my first and last name. But that's how open this administration is too.
Agree. We're very fortunate here, and I think we as a community are taking advantage of the access and opportunities we have. No, this event being a perfect example. At our table tomorrow, we'll have two incumbents, Minneapolis City Council members, who are from very different sort of ends of the political spectrum on the council. We like everyone to, you know, get together and get along and cover our bases. We'll also have a new council member elect, Katie Cashman.
Hey,
had on the show. Yep. So she will be there as well. So again, it's an opportunity to help educate these influencers about our community.
Well, it's exciting, and I think every little bit helps. You know, she won by a kind of a tight margin there, and I think, you know, whatever we could do here at Native Roots Radio to help or to get the word out of who this young candidate is. What about St. Paul? All women city council members, and I think all seven are under 40 years old.
Yep, and by far a majority of them are women of color, right?
Yes, so all but one.
That's historic. That's wonderful. And you know, I've always been about, you know, trying to lift up the next generations. I wasn't involved in the St. Paul City Council races, but I'm satisfied as someone who's now entering my elder years. I'm very satisfied having this more youthful council. Katie Cashman on the Minneapolis side that we were talking about, she's just 30.
Wow.
And you know, I was looking through the profiles of the city council candidates here in our Star Tribune, which is our big daily paper, and it was interesting. The closer they were to 30 or under 30, their priority was environment and climate change. Mm. And I mean, that was almost to a person. And I know Katie says the same thing. Katie Cashman, council member elect, she said that's the issue of her generation. That's the crisis of her generation. And I find some comfort in having these young elected officials prioritize climate.
Well, and not only the young ones, but we talk about this all the time here on Native Roots Radio, but our Gen Zs are engaged and running for office and are going to save us, and they don't get polled. So when you see these polls for Biden only up 4% or on and on and on, right, it's a year away from the election right now, so it is getting to be that time of year. But they aren't asking the Gen Zs who they're voting for. They don't pick up their phone. You know, they'll text you maybe, but they aren't picking up a poll.
Right. And that's the biggest voting block, right, going into 2024.
Yep.
It's a whole different electorate. You know, I love that you said they'll save us. That's what I'm counting on as well. You know, that's where we need to be focusing energy and effort, is engaging younger voters. You know, you talked about our Make Voting a Tradition effort.
Yeah.
In the state of Minnesota, you can now pre-register 16 and 17-year-olds. So
yeah,
they're ready to vote when they're 18. We've been focusing on that as well. And yeah, so I'm hopeful for 2024 as well from what we've seen this election cycle around the country.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So many things that if you're watching CNN or MSNBC or any of those stations that are freaking out about the red vote coming in, and then the final results the next day was like They were freaking out in the blue states or the red states.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Repairs to the Los Angeles 10 freeway that's been closed since the weekend due to an arson fire are moving faster than expected. Governor Gavin Newsom.
By Tuesday next week, trucks, passenger vehicles in both directions will be moving again.
Criminal investigation continues. President Biden says several agreements were reached between world leaders at the APEC summit.
If we had this agreement in place we're talking about today, we would not have had to lay off so many auto workers because lack of semiconductors and many other examples.
They include clean energy, supply chains, and climate change. The Gaza Strip's main Palestinian internet and telephone providers say those services have collapsed due to lack of fuel, sparking a potentially long-term communications blackout. Texas man convicted of abducting and strangling a 5-year-old girl in 2001 has been executed. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Department of Workforce Development economist Dennis Winters.
People are getting jobs, they're getting paid well, and hence they're spending that money. And as you know, that's what drives the U.S. economy pretty much.
More than 3 million people are working in non-farm jobs in Wisconsin. That's close to a record. Republican Congressmen Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 25. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 43, lows around 26 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 36.
The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey, give and give plenty. We really appreciate everyone that gave over the time of COVID. We really needed that funding and to keep going on our radio show. So I really appreciate that. Hey, we're here with Justin Brokenrope. And first of all, I really love your name and it's good to see you again. And second off, we just played a little bit of music there, and let's talk a little bit about that. But first, I'd love to have you introduce yourself again to our audience.
Sure. Oh, Madaki Epi, Justice Broken Rope, Maki Epido, Chante Washte, Nape Chuz Epido, Sichanko, Yanke, Mataha, Nako, Onawatecha Records, Wawa, Dakekte. Hello, my relatives. My name's Justice Broken Rope. I'm enrolled over at Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. Today I'm going to talk about Wateche Records.
Yeah, let's get right into it. We just played a little cut there that you're working with. Let's talk a little bit about Wetache Records.
Yeah, so Wetache Records basically is kind of a project that I started a little over a year ago. I've been collecting records for, I don't know, since I was in middle school or something. And at a certain point realized that these records I was collecting and like these bands I was finding out about intersected with kind of our cultural identity. And so I started just picking up any Native records that I would find. And these would usually be like country or folk or like 60s, 70s rock records. And a lot of them were kind of underground artists or never made it off their reservations. And so I thought at this point in time, I should start trying to catalog these and upload them and ideally make them more accessible and available for their families and communities that they came from. So yeah, for the past year, I've been trying to document and kind of archive these records and then concurrently with that DJing them as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Where can people find the records you have documented so far?
The ones that I've digitized, they go up on YouTube. Usually I try and get 3 or 4 albums up a month. And then everything is also posted on an Instagram account. And both of those are Wetache.records, Wetache.records. But yeah, everything goes up on there and I still have probably a couple hundred records I haven't digitized yet. So it's going to be an ongoing thing.
Well, that's awesome. So do you just put the picture of the album up, for YouTube? Is that how people can visually see it too?
Yep. Yeah. I'll scan or take a photo of, the sleeve of the jacket, the front and the back, and then any other information usually that I can put on the description, like if you can find out who's in the band or what families they're from, reservations, etc.
Wow. That's awesome. I love history, and that's history, and that's unmarked history too, and especially in those days when you could cut an album and basically sell it and promote it yourself. It isn't so controlled like the record companies are nowadays. So who are some of your favorite, what are some of your favorite albums that you've discovered? And I want to ask you too, what were you surprised about, you know, what surprised you the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe when someone asked me that question, like, well, who's your favorite Native rock band? It's hard to pick one, but this band Sugluk comes to mind. They're like mid-70s band up in Canada, First Nations Inuit band. And they just sound like their reservations version of CCR. They absolutely rock. And when you listen to, you know that people were going buck wild at wherever they were playing back in the day. And I've seen photos of them. And yeah, I mean, wearing the leather fringe jackets and bell bottoms and boots. And I don't know. That's probably my favorite band that I've come across through this. I'm Lakota, so Buddy Redbow is a huge one for me. Winterhawk, Morris Belknap, I think he's an Apache country guy in the early 70s. So those are some of the ones that I go back to and default to as my favorites. But it's kind of this ongoing thing where this is, like you were saying, kind of something that hasn't been documented much at all. And so I keep finding things. And a lot of it's been overlooked because, yeah, these were Native artists back in the day when it wasn't popular to be a Native artist and they weren't able to get off the reservation or get much radio play. And so these things are out there and they haven't been digitized. They're not on Spotify, not on YouTube a lot of the time. So just trying to find them and bring them out to a wider audience when I can.
That's awesome. So in this process, have you found anyone that's in these bands or have they reached out to you or is anyone go, that's my record or that's my uncle's record?
Yeah, actually. And that's kind of where the most rewarding part of this is on the YouTube videos. Their relatives will comment a lot of the time. And that's been, you know, it's brought tears to my eyes a couple times where I'll see someone who, you know, it's like, oh, my grandma used to play this record while she was cooking. I haven't heard it in 40 years. Or, we used to sing this song when we were in boarding school. Like, it's just some of them can be really heavy, but they're always coming from a really positive place. And it's just great to be able to, I don't know, we live in this era where you can upload anything at any time, but when someone can connect with music like that again that they maybe haven't heard in 40, 50 years, you know, I think that's really powerful. And so for me, that's the most important part, is trying to get these records out there and making it so people can hear them again, because they're hard to find and a lot of them are really expensive sometimes because they're so rare. But I want the families and the communities they're from to hear them first and foremost.
That's amazing. You could almost do a whole show on that, do a podcast or whatever on that, because music's good medicine. I was going to ask you too, were there any Chicago-like bands back that you've run into, a horn band of any kind? Because I played trumpet for 40 years.
Yeah, I think maybe Archie Kavanaugh, I believe. I can't remember what tribe he is from. One of his records got reissued, but that's more kind of on like almost, there's a lot of like disco beats, but adult contemporary, and so a lot of horns and things like that on that. But yeah, I can send you some stuff that I know of if you track down too.
That would be cool. And it would be really cool too, is that if you find somebody, we'd love to have you have them come on and interview them on Native Roots Radio. That would be really cool. Because that's a gold mine. That's history. That's music, as you know, with the powwows and all the different songs we have really hit us in our heart. And so, you know, there's, you know, we were making music and we were also in the music business. And, you know, not just Robbie Robertson, but thank goodness he was around for when he was around. And we can't add Buffy St. Marie anymore. Oh, we can have a album burning a night or something here on Native Roots Radio. But there's more, and I think that's, in all seriousness, that I think that's one of the things that we have to remind ourselves as Native Americans, is that there's a lot more artists out there that are being portrayed, whether it's actors, singers, that are Native American, that are, you know, not getting the thumbs up okayed by our white community, but are been in our Native community all these years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to make sure that these albums and these bands can be heard by the people that heard them first and who were they were made for. And I don't know, I just think that's so genuine. And a lot of the times they're talking about their communities or what they were doing to have fun, like anything going on at that time back then. But yeah, it's from a real place, and it's from kind of the overlooked artists of the genre back in the day. So
when you DJ, tell us a little bit about that. So I think of a DJ because I'm a hip dude from an NWA era. It's not the same kind of DJing. It's more of playing these music through. Tell us a little bit about that, and where and what we would expect to hear and see when you do that.
So I do physical like DJing at events. I have turntables, and you know, in the Twin Cities it's been like, yeah, Four Sisters Farmers Market, that Owamni Water Festival, things like that I'll get invited to. I DJed an Indigenous film event at the Walker recently, so I do that. And yeah, I people can book me for doing those sort of things. And then I also have a couple radio shows that have streamed from these platforms, Beloved out of Chicago, and then NTS that's based in London. And so those are nice because I get to create the whole recording in Dakota. So any of me yammering on during the session is all in Dakota. There's no English spoken on them. So that, wow, that is in line with the kind of my language revitalization component, where we're creating more media in Dakota and Lakota to have out there. So yeah, those are kind of the main two outlets that I have for doing this.
Well, that's play. You know, what do you want to say about the band that we're playing right now?
This is Washita Love Child by Jesse Ed Davis, a Kiowa guitarist from Oklahoma, but he did sessions with George Harrison, Clapton, Taj Mahal. Just wrote a bunch of bangers and a true rocker.
Wow. Hey, so where? Let's talk about the YouTube. What's the YouTube called again?
The YouTube's watecha.records, W-A-T-H-E-C-A. .records, and it's the same with Instagram as well. And then that's also my email for contacting me for gigs or information, things like that. So it's out there. But yeah, if you just look up Watecha Records on Google, you'll find some of this stuff. And hopefully a record awesome. That you haven't heard in 30, 40 years.
Justin, we got to do this again and have a longer segment because I think there's more we can dive into. Hey, thanks for coming in, and let's catch up again. And Pini Gigi, thank you for all your other work, too, as a language instructor and keeping our Native community alive.
Oh, be done, yeah.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Are you thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, that was a good call. Hey, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett of Howling for Wolves, and we're always excited to howl with you, and we'd love to have an update. I mean, we haven't had you on a while, and we know Give to the Max is happening, and we just love talking to you and checking in. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Robert. It's always really nice to talk to you guys. And we have had a lot of things go on, and Give to the Max is a time for us to sort of wrap it up for people. I think if you go to our Give to the Max page, we say some things. which is really cool. We redid it, and we actually have an ad that we linked to from the Give to the Max, which will inspire people to give, but also is slightly educational. It gives the ecological message. It says, basically, wolves keep deer moving to increase plants that support birds and fish. And so I love the way the voice read this ad. Anyway, so you can go see that on our Give to the Max page. And but since, I think we last talked, Robert, with my talking about the new research showing that human causes of wolf deaths massively increases with the wolf hunting and persists long after the wolf hunting ended. I think we spoke about that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think.
I don't have memory too hard, but anyway, so in July, there's this new research that came out and it was published in Nature, and it looked at the DNR's data, their own collared wolf data over 16 years. And they found that starting with November of 2012, the amount of wolf deaths overall more than doubled. And, the causes of deaths caused by humans more than tripled. Wow. So it went from like a 20% death rate, the trend like this, and then it jumped. There was a trend jump to a new trend. And now it was 43% death rate overall. And 35% of that was human causes. So human causes used to be only 10%, and then it jumped up to 35.5%. Anyway, so not to be a Debbie Downer here. So what we've done, though, is with that information, it came at a very good time. I mean, this is a Nature publication, if you can imagine that. Mm-hmm. And so I had a meeting. I was allowed a meeting with the Department of Natural Resources Commissioner.
Wow.
That was astounding. I had never had that before. And they even allowed me to record it.
Oh.
Yes. And we went to church on this research. And basically I said to them, wolves are already dying. You're tasked with protecting them. And let's change the whole plan so that the public can help you. Because the public would love to not have wolf hunting and support wolves. Support the DNR in their research for wolves. Support the DNR. Maybe even help them count wolves or change out the camera, memory in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere when they need to do that. Anyway, so we had this great meeting with the DNR, and then recently we are moving forward with our plans to have legislation, and that is to remove wolf hunting from state law. It's the minimum that we should be doing now that we know wolves are dying so much. That wow. data went through 2019. The hunts ended in 2014.
Wow.
So the jump in the death rate was drastic and continuous. Anyway, so we had a great event, though, in the East Metro yesterday mm-hmm. in Afton at the historic Afton Inn. And we are partnering with HSUS, Humane Society of the United States. I'm sure Wendy would be very excited to hear about it. Yeah. And we're working together on this legislative effort. And at this town hall meeting, where we had people from Senate District 41, which is Senator Seeberger's district. And Senator Seeberger, we think, needs persuading, but is persuadable. Cool. She's a Democrat. She had a close race, but there's not an election coming up for 3 years for her. Mm-hmm. And we think if we just really get people in the East Metro area to push on their senators this legislative session, that we can influence the few senators we need to influence on the Democratic side. And one is Senator Seeberger, and there are a few others, Senator Frentz in Mankato. So tomorrow night we have a town hall meeting in Mankato. Starts at 6:00. People can walk in. They don't need to pre-register. And it is on our website. Its location, I believe it's at the library in Mankato. 6:00 to 7:30. And even Joe Fritz gives a little presentation on the history of the wolf. And then I talk about what we're doing moving forward in legislative session.
Would that be tonight, Thursday, or tonight. Friday?
Tomorrow okay. night.
Which
oh,
is-
tonight, sorry. Thursday, November 16th. My apologies.
No problem.
Yes. If you're in anywhere in the Southern Minnesota district, even if you're not the Mankato district and you want to stop by, please do. I mean, yeah. we'd love to have you. But anyway, moving forward, the we also have this Wolf Forgiveness Bonus Program, and we did manage to get a few producers, livestock producers, to take our money, which was very interesting to see the difference between a true, what you think was a true loss and what you think was a fake. Mm-hmm. And I paid out both, but I know when I'm getting fooled, and but I won't be fooled twice. What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
So we won't get fooled twice, you know. And just like the Who song, we won't get fooled again. anyway, so on that note, I think that's the update.
Well, we got a couple more minutes too. Maybe we can get a little deeper in that buyback. Can you tell our audience what that is?
It's called the Wolf Forgiveness Bonus Program. Right. And really the whole point was to turn people's heads. Basically to say, hey, we'll pay you if, even though you think a wolf killed your livestock.
Right.
We will pay you if you're willing to forgive that wolf and not have the wolf killed.
Mm-hmm.
And now then we run into what's a very interesting situation where a livestock producer may call the USDA to assess their loss to try to get reimbursement from the federal government for the loss of the livestock.
Hmm.
And then from us, they may try to get, which is fine, I'm more than willing to give it money for not having the wolf killed. But then they run up against the USDA guy who wants to trap out all wolves he gets any complaints on because he believes he's creating killer wolves.
Huh.
He has a really weird mindset, but I've and I don't know what to do about him other than to try to keep pushing home the point that no, wolves are, it's not what you think is going on. Wolves are not growing everywhere. We don't have tons of wolves. They're struggling, and we don't need to be killing them as much as we do. So the Wolf Forgiveness Bonus Program is just kind of a twist to tell people, hey, you can actually earn money to not have a wolf killed, and just make them think about it. And mm-hmm. we have had takers. So, and
it sounds like and fibbers too, huh?
Fibbers. I had one fibber, but like I said, I won't be fooled again.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, CEO and founder of Howling for Wolves. And we always love to howl and we think of our wolves. And I just hope, because we're all over Wisconsin too with our show, Maureen, I just hope Wisconsin's hearing this. They don't need another wolf hunt. And that was just so devastating. And talk to your people, your politicians about that in Wisconsin.
Very hard for them there. But luckily there is change happening in Wisconsin, but it is very difficult. And maybe Wisconsin even, maybe they'll have more of a way in with the courts. I don't know. But we did have some people from Wisconsin at our East Metro event, sort of taking stock in what is happening in Minnesota, how different it is than in Wisconsin. We're sad about Wisconsin, very sad about it.
Yeah.
Here, we want to, you know, we want to demonstrate in the state of Minnesota that we can have all non-lethal methods and that killing a wolf can be a rare and regretful event. And that's exactly what we need to do.
Well, thanks for stopping in and giving us a great update. And thank you always, all these years of support to Native Roots Radio. We really appreciate you and all the great work. I think what we got to do, Haley, is do one more call for this show, or this portion's brought to you by real quick.
Okay, yes. And give to the max.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Remember to give to the max. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be back tomorrow.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.